is brought to you by Uber, the official awkward 15-minute car ride of thingsdezsays.net. Hey, thanks so much for tuning in this Saturday. Happy Saturday to your ass, by the way. My name is Dez Delgadillo, flying solo this week. Faraz is off doing whatever it is he does, probably watching cricket or football or whatever it is British people do. I don't know. All I know is I've got my buddy Anthony Sorizano on the show in just a little bit from Room 110 Productions, a little theater company out of Pomona, California, my stomping grounds. And he's got a show that he's producing, directing tonight and next week, February 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Cal Poly Pomona campus. And if you want information on that, just click on the description here for this podcast and you can get all the info for how you can buy tickets, how you can go, how you can have a fun time, and tell your friends, hey, I went to a fun theater show and you didn't, so suck on that. But if you can, you should take them. That'd be fun, right? So that's coming up in a little bit. It's a fun time, man. Before we get there, I want to advise you on a few things. Mainly, if you go up to our website, thingsdezsays.net, you'll see a link, and it says click here to go to the Amazon.com that you know and love. Now, here's the thing. Don't just type Amazon.com into the address bar. That's not what the cool kids are doing. What the cool kids are doing is they're going to my website, thingsdezsays.net. They're clicking on my Amazon link, and then they're doing their Amazon shopping, buying whatever it is you need to buy. Because when you do that, dear listener, the purchase that you make helps support me in just a little bit. And it helps me pay off the podcast hosting fees, pay for this website. Things get pretty expensive here at Podcast HQ. So if you want to help out monetarily and buy the stuff you are going to buy anyway, at no extra cost to you, use that link, man. Help me out a little bit. You can follow Gwyneth Paltrow's advice and buy a vagina steamer for only $49.99. If you're a Prime member, you get free 2-day shipping on your vagina steamer. I don't know why you would want that. But if you're a Gwyneth Paltrow fan, hey, why not do it? So you can do that. If you don't have any cash in your pocket, well, that's fine too, man. Go up to iTunes, subscribe. There's a link in this podcast description. You can just leave a review. Say, hey, I love this podcast. It's my favorite podcast of all time. And although that may not be true, other people don't know that. So tell people that. Tell iTunes that. And other people can enjoy the magic that is thingsdezsays.net podcast. Whether you like Culture My Pop on Saturdays, whether you like the wrestling show on Monday, I'm glad to have you as a listener. And I hope you can support the show. All right. So that's out of the way. Let's talk to Anthony Sorizano, man. He's all about that theater life, all about that writing life, all about that stand-up life. My interview with Anthony Sorizano from Room 110 Productions coming up after these words from our friends over at the Archivist Podcast.
Project Archivist, the podcast that talks about the weird, the wonderful, and the strange. Join us every week as your hosts, Rojan and Lobo, take a different look at the world around us through guest interviews, discussion, or taking a look at the week's weirdest news. Find us at www.projectarchivist.com, on iTunes in the podcast section, or on the Stitcher Android app.
I'm working on a major hangover, trying to get rid of it. But good news, everyone. My buddy Anthony Sorizano is here.
Yo.
Welcome to the show, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
I'm good, dude. A theater man, a fellow stand-up comedian, and as I learned a couple weeks ago, a fellow Kanye West enthusiast.
Oh, I love Kanye, man.
Oh, man. He's like...
Anything Kanye related, that's me. That's where I learned all my cockiness from.
That's right. He's one of those guys who knows how good he is.
Oh, exactly. And he shows that. He makes sure you know that he's good.
Hell yeah, man. Do you think like when you get famous, you're going to be that kind of comedian? Like, yes, look upon me in my fame.
I want to say no, but I probably will. Because I get really cocky when I play, like, games and stuff. Like, right now, my girlfriend and I are playing Trivia Crack a lot.
Yeah.
And I get super cocky when I beat her.
You're like, yeah, I know when Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. I knew
exactly.
That shit.
Like, yeah, I spent hours endlessly on the internet looking up random facts.
You just read Wikipedia articles.
That's exactly what I... That's how I know. That's how I'm so good, because I just... Nothing to do. Hey, Wikipedia's there. Let's go.
Oh, man. It's a mine of information, that Wikipedia.
Exactly.
Man, I'm so stoked to have you on the show. Room 110 Productions is your theater company. I was lucky enough to be on one of your shows a few months ago. And you guys put on a super fun show, dude. And I want to let everybody know listening right now, if you're listening locally in the Los Angeles or in the Inland Empire area, Room 110 Productions has their new production, No Exit, going on starting, well, it started yesterday, but you can go to tonight on January 31st, or you can go next week, February 5th, 6th, or 7th at the Cal Poly Pomona campus. And let me know a little bit about what's going on at No Exit. What's the strategy for this show?
It's a play. I directed it myself. It's a really heavy play. Like, yesterday was opening day, and it's about three people stuck in hell trying to figure out what they're doing with each other.
That's a very inconvenient place to find yourself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's just three very damaged souls trying to figure out what the fuck they're doing with each other after their death. And you know, we've been working on it for some time now. This play was supposed to be up like about a year ago.
Oh, really?
But one of our actresses fell through. And it was going to be at the DAW, at the DAW Center of the Arts in Pomona.
Yeah.
But the chair of Cal Poly, where we used to go to school, approached us to produce the play on campus. So we were like, fuck it, let's do it. So we kind of held the production for this time. And it opened yesterday. Been working on it since the beginning of the year. I've had a lot of cast changes, man.
I think
like three actresses dropped on me, but I kept getting more. So that's very cool that I have so many friends willing to act, especially when they're willing to act for free. So that's awesome.
Yeah, man. It's like the comedy world. You're willing to go up for pizza and beer, as I've done many times. Hey, what's so in my experience, theater is fucking hard. It's just not an easy thing to do. What drew you into going into the acting world?
You know what? It's funny because I was actually dared to audition for a play in high school.
What play was it?
Man, let's see if I remember. It was like a play that my teacher found online. I think it was called Don't Bring the House Down or something like that. I don't remember, but
is it about like the Big Bad Wolf and the Three Little Pigs? Like, that sounds something they would do.
No, it was like about like two burglars bringing into this house, but then they realized that there was people in there still living. And it was a comedy for sure, and I played the cop who's like investigating the whole case. And but anyways, my friend, we were in class and they were doing the announcements. We were in our Algebra 2 that day. I was a sophomore.
Yeah.
She was like, hey, I dare you to audition for the play. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Why not?
You're like, no, I'm too busy factoring this quadratic equation right now. I can't.
Yeah, and then I was like, I'll do it. So then I auditioned and I got the part because I was the only guy that auditioned for the part. So that's how I got into theater.
Oh, God forbid we have a lady cop casting that role.
Right.
Yeah. The sexism of theater. No, man, congratulations. So you nailed that role, and I assume you had fun because you're still doing it.
Oh, yeah, it was definitely fun. And then after that, I did more plays at school. And then my senior year in high school, there was this program called Peer Theater through Cal Poly Pomona where they came into the Pomona district and they gathered up a bunch of kids from the from different schools, different high schools, and we wrote and produced our own play with mentors from Cal Poly. I'm still really good friends with my mentor from the from that program. So that was cool.
So you write a lot, right? You write a lot of like you sketches and plays and stuff.
Yeah. I got into theater through acting, but I became a writer towards the end. Going into college, I started writing more. One day, I think I woke up and I was like, I think I'm gonna write something today.
Yeah.
And then I just started writing.
I love writing, dude, because you don't have to memorize lines; you just have to create them.
Exactly. You have to make the lines for people to memorize.
Yeah, you have to make them memorable.
Yeah,
which is exactly. A struggle in itself, I guess. But so how do you like writing now? I mean, is it an easier thing for you now that you've done it a couple times?
Yeah, you know, I've definitely gotten a lot better since the first time I tried to write. I still suck at spelling, I'll tell you that.
Oh, dude, that's one. Like, if you're a good writer, you're a terrible speller. That's the rule.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty logical rule to judge writers by, because yeah. I fucking suck. Like, I'm so thankful spell check exists.
Yeah, I bet Maya Angelou was like the worst speller of all time. Like, she was such a good writer. I bet her spelling was just terrible.
Yeah, exactly.
She let her modifiers dangle and shit.
I'm also thankful for my sister, because she actually is a good speller. So every time I write something, I just send it to her so she can check it. She's my personal spell check or child labor. I don't pay her, so you know it's always good to have something like that, someone like that in your family.
Get into the spell checking sweatshop, little girl.
Exactly. Just start whipping her in with a typewriter.
Oh, that's terrible.
And a red marker.
Take me behind the scenes in the world of theater real quick, because I did a little bit of theater in high school, and in college I hung out with a little bit of the theater majors, and one thing I noticed is, and this is no offense to you or any of your peers, but theater people are the only people in the world that I know that can have a good time and not be on drugs.
It's no offense taken whatsoever. That's a compliment, if anything. The theater people are fun. They're very what's the high energy? I guess that's the word. The proper word to describe theater people.
They're one of the few people I know that you can just be hanging out with them and they'll spontaneously break into like a musical number and it's okay.
Yeah. We justify them. We justify the songs with, what I don't know, whatever pops into our head. No, but the theater world, it's quite crazy. It's full of drama, I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah.
It's even behind the scenes, it depends. Like, the designers usually are mainly like nerds and shit. But the actors are very horny all the time. It's a weird combination.
You get
like
horny
you
throw actors.
Them into one room and then just craziness happens.
Oh man, if you get horny actors and nerdy designers together, I can't imagine what would happen.
Yeah, exactly. During cast parties, that's when you start to see the real colors.
Because
you see all the tech people separated. And then all the actors in the other side. But then you get alcohol in the middle, and then, you know, you have yourself a really good party.
Oh, I bet you do, man. I went to two of your shows in December, and I'm telling you, it was a great show. I did one of the shows sober, and one of the shows I drank a little bit. And theater is a lot more fun when you're drinking.
Oh, definitely.
Oh, man. Not to say it's not fun when you're sober, but if you have a little bit of alcohol in there, you're going to have the best time, because it's like a live-action soap opera in front of you.
Exactly, and anything could happen.
That's right.
And, I mean, I did those two shows pretty drunk, actually.
You were pretty drunk.
Yeah, I was really drunk, actually, for those two shows that we did back in December. I remember that second show we had, I had to act. Like I said, anything could happen. One of my actors couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And I jumped into the role super drunk, which was perfect, because it was a comedy, so it worked out for the best.
How long does it take you to jump into a role? Like, you hear that an actor can't make it, and you're like, oh shit, I gotta act now. What do you have to do to mentally prepare yourself for that?
You gotta drink one more beer. Maybe maybe you should read the script once.
Maybe
if you have it in you know, reachable for you. But if not, then you know, just go up and do whatever you feel like, whatever the alcohol tells you to do.
Go up and react, man.
Exactly. So. It's all about moment to moment. So whatever you feel at that moment, boom, do it.
That's why I was never successful in theater, because I always wanted to be a stand-up comedian, and so I would just go up there and say funny shit that had nothing to do with the story, and all the other actors would get totally pissed at me and be like, that wasn't even funny, dude. Like, why did you do that?
So you did acting in high school.
I did a little bit of acting. I did more improv than acting.
Okay.
And maybe I'll do it again at some point, but I like being the center of attention too much to share the stage with other people. That's nice.
That's the comedy life right there.
That is the comedy life. That's my favorite thing. I love theater people. I love being on theater people's shows as like the entertainment, or just doing stand up. But I don't like being in a theater production. I love sitting and watching the theater people prepare themselves, because they'll like spontaneously break into like improv games and stuff, and I'm just sitting there going, yeah, man. I wish I had like a fun improv game to get ready for stand-up. So it's fun, man. But you started doing stand-up recently, right?
I've only been doing it for probably like 6 months now. I actually took a break because of the play that I was working on.
Yeah.
But yeah, a couple of years ago, probably three or four years ago, I would occasionally go to this fucking dive bar here in Pomona called Characters.
Yeah.
And they'd have like an open mic, and I'd go up and just start talking. And then I just left that to the side. And then a couple of months ago, I was again drunk at DBA.
Yeah.
And there was an open mic, and some guy, and I started, you know, I sparked the conversations with the guy next to me. And he was like, oh, I guess I'm going to, there was an open mic that night. And he was like, I guess I'm going to play a song today. And I was like, oh, maybe I should sign up for some stand-up. So I did. I had some jokes that I had in mind from when I was trying to get into, motivate myself to do stand-up.
Yeah.
So I just used those jokes, and it was a pretty good first time in a while. I just kept doing it. And yeah, I've been doing that for like 6 months, 5 months. I'm not really sure now.
So what's easier for you to write at this point? Is it easy for like a basic short joke, or do you like writing a long form kind of sketch?
Oh no, for me, I love the setup of any kind of joke.
Yeah.
So a scene like where everything leads up to the punchline at the end, it's probably my favorite thing to write.
Yeah, that's the most fun, man. Is if you can like take a joke and expand it and make it long. Like usually what I do, I just do really short setup punchline, and it's,
yeah.
It's fun, man, but it's fun. More fun to do the. I almost said funner. It's more funner to do the long form stuff.
It's the alcohol speaking still from last night.
Still, oh my god! Remind me never to spike Monster with whiskey ever again.
Oh man, you were definitely hungover today.
It was a good night. I was up at where we first met, actually. We met at Flappers in Claremont.
Oh, yeah, you had a show yesterday.
Yeah,
right?
I got to go back and open for Lenny Schmidt from Joe Dirt.
Oh, nice. How was the show?
It was fun, man. Everyone was super funny. We had, like, I think we were expecting, like, 10 people, and we ended up with, like, 20. So,
oh, very. That's a healthy crowd.
Dude, performing in front of 20 people is sometimes, like, 15 more than I'm used to. So it was like at your shows, man, your shows, I don't know how many people were there, but everybody there was so into everything. It was great.
Oh yeah, dude, those crowds that we had at those shows that we back in December, yeah. They were probably one of the best crowds we've had, especially that first night. We had like family members, which worked out for the best with the whole 20 something sort of freaking subject we were trying to hit.
By the way, I got to give you props on that show, on just on that concept, man, because I read about it and I was like, I don't know what to expect from this. It's probably just going to be some weird hipster show about like fedoras and Instagram and shit. But what happened was it was a series of skits and like musical numbers all about like this existential crisis that happens in your 20s, and you're like, fuck, where's my life going now? Which I think everybody hits at some point. And I thought it was great, man. I was telling everybody to go to it.
Yeah, it was definitely a good show. I had lots and lots of fun, especially because there was alcohol involved, but that's a whole other story.
Well, that's all part of being 20-something.
Exactly. It's part of the whole existentialist crisis we go through, is the alcohol. It brings it out.
No Exit tonight, January 31st of the next week, February 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Cal Poly Pomona College campus. If you want more info on how to go, how to get tickets and all that stuff, thingsdeathsays.net is where you can find that. I have the event posted there along with this podcast, so you can go and enjoy what Room 110 Productions is putting out for you. I guarantee it's going to be a super fun time. What are you working on now, dude? Are you thinking of writing another show? Or are you thinking of doing more stand up? What's in the cards now?
I'm gonna get back into stand up right now. I wrote a couple of skits that I'm trying to record into an audio play of some sort.
Oh, nice!
So I'm working on that right now.
Cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's funny because audio plays are like making a comeback. It was like the 40s and the 50s, audio plays were big. And then TV came and ruined radio for everyone.
Yeah, it did. And they're definitely making a comeback. I remember my last production at Cal Poly as a student was War of the Worlds, which was a really fun show to do.
Yeah, man. Oh, that's a fun. That was a fun one. So, okay. So you went to college for theater? Is that what you did?
Yeah, I majored in theater. Theater with a general emphasis. So I did some acting, I did some tech work, and you know, just a little bit of everything.
When did you set your mind on that? Like, all right, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna dedicate this piece of paper. I'm getting to theater. Was it like right away?
No, you know, I went in as a undeclared, and then I declared a major, which was history, my freshman year, with a minor in theater. But I started working on this play, in the theater shop.
Yeah.
And I got sucked in. They never let me go. So I just stayed there and majored in theater.
It happens, man. There were probably a lot of drugs involved too. I don't want you to throw anybody under the bus, but
I was definitely probably drugged. It was probably all the fumes from the paint that I was using. but I was definitely sucked in, and I fell in love with the art, and I did it for 5 years, and I'm still doing it right now. So it's been quite a fun ride. Theater is definitely, I got into theater, I wanted to major or minor in theater because I wanted to get into the film industry.
Yeah.
But I fell in love with theater so much that I don't even care about the film industry anymore.
Yeah, fuck the film industry, I still watch it. It's all about art, man. Live art, bro.
Yep.
Hey, so tell me a little bit about your writing process. How do you get stoked to write something? Is it like you think of it and then you sit on it for a few days and then you write, or does it just kind of come naturally to you?
It kind of just comes naturally. Sometimes when I sit on an idea, I overthink it, and I'm like, wow, this is not going to work. So I just throw this, like, I just scratch it and throw it away for some other time. But then later on, I come back to it, and I try to write it. But yeah, it's definitely more of a natural approach. I'm usually high, and I come up with something, and write it sober. So that works.
Yeah. Sorry, we had to give it up for marijuana there. I need a marijuana.
No, bucket. It's definitely, I extract a lot of my writing ideas from life.
Yes.
So most of my, anything, something that in life sparks an idea, I just write it down and write it later on when I'm in front of a computer.
There you go, man. Yeah, writing, I think, is the most fun part of being a creative performer, in terms of like you get to use your life as an inspiration for something, as opposed to just, oh, look, life's happening, let's keep living it. Tell me about improv. So you write and you like the writing process, life happens. What about the improv process? Is that something you want to get involved in or dabble in at all?
Yeah, definitely. I love improv, man. Just getting in front of an audience and with no script in mind, and just, you know, following the moment to moment that happens during this sketch that you build from an idea that a dog barked at you. It's great. I wish I could do it more. I used to do it in high school and in college a little bit more, but yeah, improv is definitely something I would want to get into.
There's a stand-up thing. I think they do it at Meltdown in Hollywood, and they also do it at Flappers in Burbank, called Stand Up Without a Net. And basically they give you like a list of bullet points, and they're like, all right, do a stand-up set on these bullet points. And you just go up there, and you got to be funny improvisationally. It's one of the most fun things I've ever done. because you can.
Oh, that sounds like a fun show.
Yeah, sometimes you'll do really well. Sometimes you'll eat a dick, but it's a great time, dude. I recommend it.
I'm definitely checking it out.
Yeah, man. All right, Room 110 Productions. You can go check out their show No Exit tonight, January 31st, and next week, February 5th, 6th, and 7th at the Cal Poly Pomona campus. ThingsDeathSays.net, right where the podcast is. You can also check out the Facebook event page and find out how you can buy tickets and go support local art, man. That's the important thing here. So what can we expect? Is Room 110 Productions planning anything in the future?
You know, we have a production of One Axe written by Raul Dahl. I think that's his name. He wrote Lamb to the Slaughter. I don't know if you read that short story in high school.
I have not. I don't read.
Yeah. Who does, right?
Yeah, nobody does anymore. Come on.
Yeah, we watch TV. The only thing we read are subtitles.
Yeah, I don't read anything unless Kim Kardashian's on the cover of it.
Her ass, at least.
I read her ass. They should just print books on her ass.
Yeah, it's big enough to freaking print the Bible. And it's holy, too, so, you know, it works out for the best.
It's been blessed by Yeezy.
By Yeezus himself.
There you go, man.
No, but we're working on that right now. We're in the pre-production. The writer is still writing, I believe. When it goes up, I believe it's going to be towards the end of March. So expect more details to be leaked by Sony soon about
yes.
that production.
Yeah, I hope North Korea doesn't try and stop your next play. That would
no, it has nothing to do with Kim Jong-un. So maybe he'll let us, you know, produce it completely.
I hope so. What did you think of that whole interview controversy, by the way?
It was I think it was all about the promotion. It worked out for the best. People went out and watched the movie, now it's on Netflix. So
have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet. I started watching it, but I haven't finished it yet.
It's exactly what you expect, though, isn't it? It's just
it is.
I mean, it's not shitty. It's just a mediocre Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what it was, you know. They're like, you know what, this movie's not the best. Let's let the Koreans take the blame for it.
Let's blame the Koreans for this one.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. Yeah, it's definitely not one of the best Seth Rogen films that he's released.
What's your favorite Seth Rogen film of all time?
Oh man, you know, This Is the End was a really good movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that movie a lot. There was a lot of improvising and a lot of sort of chemistry with these friends, pretty much. It looks like it was a bunch of friends. They were like, hey, I found a camera. You want to film something? And they were like, I'm down. Hey, I have weed too.
Yeah.
Should we make smoke while we film this movie? And maybe masturbate? And that's exactly how this is. That's exactly how I picture This Is the End was ever made.
At least once a week, that's how I call my friends. I'll be like, hey, man, you want to smoke weed and masturbate?
Yeah, I'm expecting that call from you soon.
Oh, dude. Hey, do you have, like, Twitter, Facebook? People can, like, keep in touch with you and send you nudes and stuff?
Oh, yeah, send me them nudes at Anthony. So Anthony the Second on Twitter and on Instagram, the same Anthony the Second. And on Facebook, just look up Anthony Solorzano the Second.
That's a fucking...
And I'm the one coming out of the closet.
Yes. That's a royal name. That's a royal name. Anthony the Second.
Yeah, that's my artistic name, as I call it.
It's very artistic. One more time, suckers, No Exit. Tonight, January 31st, and next week, February 5th, 6th, and 7th from Room 110 Productions. You can see that at the Cal Poly Pomona campus. And check it out, man. First of all, Cal Poly is a really nice place. It's just
fun. Really beautiful campus.
Oh, yeah.
Lots and lots of green and horses.
Go check that out and have some fun and say hello to Anthony and everybody on the show. ThingsDeathSays.net is where you can go for the information and the Facebook event, and you can buy tickets and God damn it, support local artists. And Anthony, thanks so much for coming on, dude.
Thank you very much for having me on the show, man.
Had a fun time. Well, I'll have you back on probably towards the end of March. We could talk about the new show and maybe we can actually be in the
good.
We'll be in the same room next time.
Yeah, right.
Thanks for supporting and listening to Things Dez Says.net podcast, Culture My Pop. here on thingsdezsays.net. Remember, if you want to support the podcast more, you can check us out on Twitter at DezDelgadillo at the Wisp. That's THAWISP. And, of course, you can use our Amazon link at thingsdezsays.net, where every purchase you make helps support our podcast, our website, at no extra cost to you. Also, remember, you can leave a review and subscribe on iTunes and have every thingsdezsays.net podcast sent straight to your podcatcher, podcast listening machine, whatever it is you use, your fruit machine, whatever it is. And remember to tune back in next week for Culture My Pop on Saturdays and the People's Podcast on Mondays. And if you're not down with that, too bad.